this off for a minute so you can hear me. It's better, and it's quite funny when you look around after we've been singing and see all the glasses fogged up. Occupational hazard in these times. So a few weeks ago, I began reading Rachel Held Evans' last ever book. It's called Wholehearted Faith, and I'm reading it very, very slowly, so I'm only in the prologue. But I read this quote. It said, oh, I'm going to put this on, sorry. There's my picture. I know that Christians are Easter people. We are supposed to favour the story of the resurrection, which reminds us that death is never the end of God's story. And yet I've never found that story even half as compelling as the story of the incarnation. And when I read that, I went, oh, yes, someone gets me. The incarnation, the amazing story of the King of Heaven stripping himself of all the trappings of glory and stepping into the most vulnerable space in humanity, cells dividing in a woman's body as a baby is formed. God growing and being born in the way most babies are born. God crying and screaming in hunger or with a soiled nappy or wind or just needing to be held. God giggling and gurgling and discovering his fingers and toes. For me, God stepping into human form, God coming alongside and being with us is what compels me to keep believing, to keeps me worshipping, and most importantly, keeps me hoping. It is the only way I can hold the bigness, holiness, and love of God in one hand and the pain that I have experienced and the injustice that I see around me in the other. In the deeply patriarchal society that was Israel in around 4 BCE, decisions for a young woman would have been made firstly by her father, and then when she was betrothed or married, it would pass on to her husband. A woman's voice held no weight. It wasn't acceptable as a witness in a court of law. She was his property, not a partner in life. So if you're God and you're preparing for your great rescue mission for the world, the sensible thing would be to tell a man. And more important, to tell a really important man. And after all, they would be able to communicate then what was happening with those who needed to hear it and who would be affected by the announcement. However, God approaches Mary through an angel representative to tell her of the special role she is invited to play, to carry God in her tummy, to bear and bring up the Son of God. When Peter spoke last Sunday of the woman anointing Jesus' feet in Luke 7, I was struck by his words about women who were followers, friends, and supporters of Jesus. He said women who were victims in society are to be set free and raised up. Nothing in their social customs and no one in society accorded them any honour. But God through Jesus shows us that no one is beyond the margins and that everyone is embraced. Each time Jesus interacted with a woman or a person who was possessed by a demon or someone who was born blind or who had leprosy or some other disease or anyone who was an outcast in proper society at that time, he reinforced the character of God who sees each and every person as a beloved child of God, made in God's image and with the breath of God in their lungs. And a young woman in Palestine was no exception. God's inside, outside, upside down kingdom, where the lowest are seen, valued, and given the job of protecting and caring for God with us on earth. So during Advent, we're invited to remember the way God sees us, each and every person as beloved. And as we remember how we are being invited and to participate in God's big story of making all things new, each and every one of us. And regardless of what Mary might have understood by the words of the angel visitor, I know that people seem to not really often question whether Samuel understood what he was saying when Eli invited him to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," or when David, when he picked up the smooth river stones to face Goliath, or when he was anointed as king when Saul was still on the throne. Somehow we do kind of question what Mary did understand, but she had a choice to make. It must have been preposterous to comprehend. She was going to be pregnant without having been with a man, and she will be carrying the Son of God as a growing baby in her belly. I think in our tradition we can run a bit scared of Mary, the Mother of God, maybe. And in the Catholic tradition of our faith, she is venerated and honoured and set on a pedestal as so holy and so special. But I wonder if in both traditions we are robbed of her remarkable yes, that such an ordinary person would accept the invitation of the angel, not completely understanding how it would play out, aware maybe that she would get things wrong, scared, alone, vulnerable to outside forces, but willing to take God at God's word and trust that somehow it would be okay. I wonder if, too, we may have whitewashed, literally probably, Mary into being a submissive, obedient, passive woman who is willing to do what the dominant male God asks her. And I think this can be unhelpful too. We remember in this story that God gives Mary a choice and a voice. And Mary's yes is a strong and courageous statement. She chooses the undeniably hard way to follow God, and her words have become a model for a human response to God's unexpected invitations. "I am the Lord's servant," she says. "Let it be to me as you have said." She says yes. Trying to turn this. There we go. John Pavlovitz, in his Advent devotional Lo, says, "As I've gotten older, I've focused on Mary's yes in that moment, the way she accepted the invitation she'd been given, knowing it would also mean welcoming opposition. Today, I see her as an ancestor in this journey, the first responder for those of us who seek to emulate Jesus in the world. Mary was asked to literally carry and deliver the love of God to a planet in dire need of such a thing. She willingly accepted the collateral damage of bearing goodness in a time and a place when doing so would prove so difficult." So maybe this Advent we're being invited to say yes to God in whatever we're being asked to participate with in the working out of God's kingdom on earth. Maybe when we feel overwhelmed and scared, we are being invited to carry and deliver the love of God into the world around us. And just finally, in the words of Rachel Held Evans again, to understand Mary's humanity and her central role in Jesus' story is to remind ourselves of the true miracle of the incarnation. And this is the core Christian conviction that God is with us, plain old ordinary us. God is with us in our fears and in our pain, in our morning sickness and in our ear infections, in our refugee crises and in our endurance of empire, in smelly barns and in unimpressive backwater towns, in the labour pains of a new mother and in the cries of a tiny infant. In all these things, God is with us and God is for us. And through Mary's example, God invites us to take the risk of love, even though it undoubtedly opens us up to the possibility of getting hurt, of being scared or feeling disappointed. And so even in these uncertain and in the exhaustion of a global pandemic, we can remember this Advent time that God is with us and God is for us. And as we look around us throughout this next week, maybe we can remember that God is with every person we see. And God is for them too. I'm going to put this back on. We're going to have time for Barstool now. So.